This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. My dear brothers and sisters, we'll continue this week inshallah ta'ala where we stopped last week in our lesson of stories of the Prophet, alayhi salam, and we stopped in the story of Nuh alayhi salam. And obviously, as we reached the end of last week's lesson, we realized that the order we were supposed to go in and the order that was announced was that we would do the story of Idris alayhi salam and then the story of Nuh. What had happened is that I forgot we didn't have the dars, the lesson, the week before that. So it was in my mind that we had finished Idris, but actually we hadn't started. And I went straight into the story of Nuh. And I remember that maybe about 7 to 8 minutes into the last episode that we hadn't done the story of Idris. So it was a bit difficult. We're on about, I think, 8 to 10 different platforms now, mashallah, as we do here live. And it was difficult. Obviously, we did live to have to go back and to cut and all of this. It wouldn't be possible. So we said we'll finish the story of Nuh, and then we'll go back a bit in history, inshallah ta'ala, and do the story of Idris alayhi salam, and then we'll go on to the story of Hud alayhi salam, inshallah ta'ala. Obviously, it's not the way we want it to go, but that's the way, alhamdulillah, that it happened. Inshallah, alhamdulillah, it's all good, inshallah, as long as we benefit and we learn from the lessons that we need to learn from the story, inshallah, that's the important thing. We stopped in the last lesson, the story of Nuh alayhi salam, talking about the reply that he received from his people after so many years of da'wah, that each generation was becoming worse and worse. And they made his life, alayhi salam, even more difficult for him. And they challenged his da'wah more. And three generations, none of them even believed. And it got so bad that they came and they challenged him. And when they challenge Nuh, alayhi salam, they're challenging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Nuh, he's a messenger. He's been sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with a message. And as we know, we learned from the last episode, Danny, to warn them as a warner, as all the prophets came, to give glad tidings and to warn his people of the great punishment that will come to them if they disobey. But here they are coming to challenge Nuh. They said, قَالُوا يَا نُوحُ قَدْ جَادَلْتَنَا فَأَكْثَرْتَ جِدَالَنَا, that you disputed with us and you're frequently disputing, always disputing with us. They said, فَأْتِنَا بِمَا تَعِدُنَا إِن كُنْتَ مِنَ الصَّادِقِينَ, so bring that which you've been promising us if you're really truthful. All of these years, be careful, be warned. Answer the command. Say la ilaha illallah. Do good, stay away from bad. He's calling them to what's good for themselves. We mentioned this story in depth last week. All of this beautiful message he's come with, they reject it, and now they're challenging him to bring the punishment. SubhanAllah, and one of the stories that the Mufassirin mentioned, that a man was walking with his young grandchild on his shoulders, you know, the piggyback, as we say, huh? Walking with him on his shoulders. And subhanAllah, he said to him, when he saw Nuh, he said to his grandson, look, my son, he said, beware. He said, that's the liar, the kadhab, the one who warns us and calls us to worship a God that we don't know about and tells us to leave worshiping our statues. He said, so beware of him. He's warning him. And his grandson asked him a question, even though he's very young. He said, if this is what he's doing, then why are you leaving him alone? Why don't you guys do something about it? The grandfather said, what are we supposed to do? The grandchild said, let me down from your shoulders and I'll show you what you should do. He got down and he grabbed a rock. And Nuh alayhi salam, he was praying. He was prostrating in sujood on the ground. He came and he hit him with the rock on his head, and it opened up the head of Nuh alayhi salam. At this time, Nuh made the dua, which comes at the end of Surah Nuh, when he said alayhi salam, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَقَالَ نُوحٌ رَبِّ لَا تَذَرْ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ دَيَّارًا. O my Lord, لَا تَذَرْ, do not leave upon the earth, any disbelievers as an inhabitant. إِنَّكَ إِنْ تَذَرْهُمْ يُضِلُّ عِبَادَكَ وَلَا يَلِدُوا إِلَّا فَاجِرًا كَفَّارًا. Indeed, if you leave them, they're only going to have from their offspring فَاجِرًا كَفَّارًا, the wicked, disbelieving kuffar. After this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to Nuh that no one else would believe from his people. وَأُوحِيَ إِلَى نُوحٍ أَنَّهُ لَيُؤْمِنَ مِنْ قَوْمِكَ إِلَّا مَنْ قَدْ آمَنَ. That no one, it was revealed to Nuh that no one will believe from your people except for those who have already believed. فَلَا تَبْتَئِسْ بِمَا كَانُوا يَفْعَلُونَ. So do not be distressed by that which they do. And this is a very important lesson for the du'at, that we hear this type of thing. Because a lot of us, we work hard for the da'wah, but sometimes we don't have the numbers. We don't have the followers. We don't have the viewers. We don't have the shahadas. Our brothers who are focused on giving da'wah to non-Muslims. Not a lot of people are accepting the message. Very few shahadas, very few followers. But here Allah tells Nuh, and this is a message for all of us who train ourselves as du'at by following in the footsteps of the Prophet alayhi wasalam. فَلَا تَبْتَئِسْ بِمَا كَانَ يَفْعَلُونَ. So don't be distressed by that which they are doing. You've relayed your message. You've done your job. You've done what you're supposed to do. So alhamdulillah. Then the command came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for Nuh alayhi salam to build the ship, to build his ark. When he said subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَاصْنَعَ الْفُلْكَ بِأَعْيُنِنَا وَوَحْيُنَا, and to construct or to build the ship under our observation and our inspiration. And that is because during the time of Nuh alayhi salam, ships were not known. People didn't know about ships during those times. So ships weren't known. People didn't know how to build them. They didn't know where they were for. No ships were used before. Here, getting the inspiration from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, revealing to him wahy in the revelation on how to build this ship. Then Allah told him how to deal with the disbelievers when it comes to them, what's going to happen to them. He said, build the ship. And then he said, وَلَا تُخَاطِبْنِي فِي الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا إِنَّهُمْ مُغْرَقُونَ. And do not address me concerning those who have wronged. Indeed, they will be drowned. And as he was building the ship, Allah describes for us what happened with his people. وَيَصْنَعُ الْفُلْكَ وَكُلَّمَا مَرَّ عَلَيْهِ مَلَأٌ مِّنْ قَوْمِهِ سَخِرُوا مِّنْ. That he was constructing the ship, and every time any a group of his people would come by, سَخِرُوا مِّنْ, that they would make fun of him. And something, you know, a very important lesson, something very beautiful in these ayat in Surah Hud, was the reply of Nuh. Nuh, even though he didn't have a lot of followers, the only people who followed him, as we mentioned, were the ones who were the weak ones, the strong and powerful ones, the leaders. All of them refused to follow the haqq. But yet, because he knows the haqq is with him, he knows the truth is with him, he has a wahi revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He wasn't scared to relay the message. He wasn't scared to respond to them. And that's what comes in the next verse. He said with all the thiqah, all of the certainty, he said, قَالَ إِن تَسْخَرُوا مِنَّا فَإِنَّا نَسْخَرُ مِنْكُمْ كَمَا تَسْخَرُونَ كَمَا تَسْخَرُونَ. He said that if you mock us, then we will mock you just like you mocked us. And then he said, فَسَوْفَ تَعْلَمُونَ مَنْ يَأْتِيهِ عَذَابٌ يُخْزِهِ وَيَحِلُّ عَلَيْهِ عَذَابٌ مُقِيمٌ. And he said, you're going to know who the punishment will come to that will disgrace him. And upon him will descend عَذَابٌ مُقِيمٌ, an enduring punishment in the hereafter, in the hellfire. أعوذ بالله. May Allah protect us all from the hellfire, Ya رب العالمين. And then Allah's command came at the end. When it all came down to the end, Allah said, حَتَّى إِذَا جَاءَ أَمْرُنَا. He said, until our command came, وَفَارَ التَّنُّورِ, and the tanur, and the tanur is the oven, just like we know, the one that they make the bread in today. When it overflowed, and that was a sign for Nuh, that the command, that the Amr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had come at that time. Allah then said to Nuh, قُلْ نَحْمِلْ فِيهَا مِنْ كُلٍ زَوْجَيْنِ اثْنَيْنِ وَأَهْلَكَ. He said to Nuh that take with you two mates from all of the creatures, وَأَهْلَكَ, and your family. So Nuh took with him alayhi salam all of those who had believed, and we said, as it came in the narration of Ibn Abbas, that it was 80 people only who would believe in Nuh alayhi salam. He took all of the believers with him and the family members that he had believed in him, and other than his wife and one of his sons who were from the kafirin, who were from the disbelievers. And he took from the animals two mates of each. And he put into the ship On the bottom were all of the animals. On the middle deck was Nuh and the mu'mineen, the believers. And on the upper deck was the birds. And in Surah Al-Qamar, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes for us from the beginning when they lied and denied the message of Nuh until the punishment that comes to them. And very short, but very powerful ayat. When Allah said, كَذَّبَتْ قَبْلَهُمْ قَوْمُ نُوحٍ, that they denied before, the people of Nuh. فَكَذَّبُوا عَبْدَنَا, so they denied our servant, our abd. وَقَالُوا, and they said about him, مَجْنُونٌ, that he's a madman. Was Dujr, and they threatened him. So what did Nuh do, as all of those who are attached to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? At the time of difficulty, he returned to his Rabb subhanahu wa ta'ala, raising his hands in dua. فَدَعَا رَبَّهُ أَنِّي مَغْلُوبٌ فَانْتَصِرْ. Oh my Lord, he invoked to his Lord, I am overpowered. فَانْتَصِرْ, so help, help me, Ya Allah. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends down the punishment upon his people. فَفَتَحْنَا أَبْوَابَ السَّمَاءِ بِمَاءٍ مُنْهَمِرٍ. So we open up the gates of the heaven, and the ma, the rain, came down munhamir, pouring down. Imagine, my brothers and sisters, as we're giving the ayat, I want you to imagine and to visualize what's happening. So Allah tells us, first of all, he's opened up the gates of the sky, and the rain's coming down. How is it coming down? Munhamir. It's coming down, pouring down. And then Allah says, وَفَجَّرْنَا الْأَرْضِ. And the word فَجَّرْنَا, we cause the earth to burst or to explode. And it starts exploding what? عُيُونًا. With the springs. So you have water coming from the top and just pouring down. Heavy rains coming down. And then from the earth, the springs are coming out. And you're going to have also, as we know from other parts, the waves are going to come in from other parts as well. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَفَجَّرْنَا الْأَرْضَ عُيُونًا فَالْتَقَى الْمَاءُ عَلَىٰ أَمْرٍ قَدْ قُدِرٍ. And then the waters, they met in a matter that was already predestined. You have the waters coming from the sky, the waters that are coming from the earth, the waters that are coming in from the sea, and the tidal waves or the tsunamis like we've even seen the days that we live in. All of these different waters are coming in for the destruction and the punishment to happen to these people. Then Allah said, وَحَمَلْنَاهُ, and we carried him, Nuh, and those who believe with him. وَحَمَلْنَاهُ عَلَىٰ ذَاتِ أَلْوَاحٍ وَدُسُرٍ. We carried them on the construction of alwah, of planks, and dusur, and nails. Nails and planks that he prepared, alayhi salatu salam, carrying him and the believers upon that ship that he had prepared for this great day. تَجْرِي بِأَعْيُنِنَا جَزَاءً لِمَنْ كَانَ كُفِرٍ. Sailing under observation as a reward for those who denied. This is what they got. They got their reward. They got what they deserved for denying the clear message that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had sent to them. And subhanAllah, as you go back to their story, originally they were upon Tawheed. It's a couple of generations they went astray. So in the recent history, they were upon pure monotheism. And then they went astray, but they refused to come back, subhanAllah, to the truth. And they denied and they challenged Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and challenged his messenger. And they receive the punishment that they deserve. And Allah said about that punishment, because what's the objective? When Allah tells us these stories in the Quran, when we hear these stories of the past nations throughout history, when they denied in their punishment, Allah said, وَلَقَدْ تَرَكْنَاهَا آيَةً فَهَلْ مِن مُدَّكِرٍ. And we left it as an ayah, as a sign. So is there anyone who will be muddakir, who will remember? Is anyone's going to remember and benefit from this reminder? Then Allah said, فَكَيْفَ كَانَ عَذَابِي وَنُذُرٍ. And how severe was my punishment and my warning? And then the story of Nuh here ends in Surah Al-Qamar. وَلَقَدْ يَسَّرْنَا الْقُرْآنَ لِلذِّكْرِ فَهَلْ مِن مُدَّكِرٍ. And we have certainly made the Qur'an easy for remembrance. So is there anyone who will remember? Something very interesting, as we're talking about the stories of the prophets anyways, if you look in Surah Al-Qamar, and these verses start from verse 9, you'll see that all of the prophets, except for the end of Musa, it had a bit of a different ending, but all of the other prophets and their stories that are mentioned here in Surah Al-Qamar, all of them stop with the same exact verse that I just mentioned. And when Allah said, وَلَقَدْ يَسَّرْنَا الْقُرْآنَ لِذِكْرِ فَهَلْ مِن مُدَّكِرٍ, that we have made the Qur'an Certainly, we have made it easy for remembrance. So is there anyone who is going to remember? And if you wanted to stop and make a bit of a tadabbur on this, there's probably many things that you might be able to abstract and benefit when you reflect on why each of their stories ended with these verses. And one of the things, obviously, is to attach us to the Quran. We see what happened to them. This is telling us that the Quran is our safe net. It's our rope. It's the habl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the rope of Allah that's going to keep us safe. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he said, taraktu fikum ma in tamassaktu bihi lan tadhillu ba'di, that I have left with you that which if you hold firm to you will never go astray after me. And he said, kitab Allah, the book of Allah. So here, that's the first reminder. The second reminder is that the objective of the Quran is for us to reflect on these stories and to take the remembrance of what happened to the past nations and what they went through, in order for it to be a reminder of us to not fall into the same footsteps of shaytan that they fell into. May Allah protect us all, Ya Rabbil Alameen. As they're on the ship, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes, and obviously when we talk about the stories of the Anbiya, my dear brothers and sisters, we're going to jump from ayat to ayat throughout different surahs, and inshallah ta'ala, we'll try to tell you most of the time, so we don't go in a particular order all the time. We're just bringing different ayat, but most of these ayat, as you mentioned now, like from Surah Hud and Surah Al-Qamar, they're all in order, inshallah ta'ala. But nonetheless, you'll find that sometimes we might bring an ayah from here and an ayah from there, just so the story, inshallah, is clearer. And in Surah Hud, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the story of what happened when they were on the ship, and the story of what happened between Nuh and his son. Also, I want you to visualize this. It's very, very deep how Allah, you know, makes it something that you can actually, you know, just reflect on and visualize as you can see it. And as they're on the ship, and we have the water pouring down from the sky, gushing up from the and exploding from the springs of the earth. You have the waves coming in from the coast. Allah said, وَهِيَ تَجْرِي بِهِمْ فِي مَوْجٍ كَالْجِبَالِ, and it sailed with them. I mean, the ship sailed with them through waves كَالْجِبَالِ. Not just small waves, waves كَالْجِبَالِ, waves like mountains. As they're there, Nuh, he sees his son outside. He hasn't gotten with him in the boat. And Allah told him that it's going to be for you and Ahlak and your family, the believers and your family. He calls out to his son, وَنَادَى نُوحٌ إِبْنَهُ وَكَانَ فِي مَعْزِلٍ. He called out to his son, who was apart from them. And he said, يَا بُنَيَّ إِرْكَبْ مَعْنَا وَلَا تَكُمْ مَعَ الْكَافِرِينَ, to come with us, come aboard with us, and don't be with the disbelievers. His son, who wasn't from the believers, subhanAllah, he said, قَالَ سَآوِي إِلَى جَبَلٍ يَعْصِمُنِي مِنَ الْمَا. He said, I'm going to take refuge in a mountain that will, يَعْصِمُنِي, that protects me from the from the water. Nuh alayhi salam, he said, قَالَ لَا عَاصِمَ الْيَوْمَ مِنْ أَمْرِ اللَّهِ إِلَّا مَنْ رَحِمْ. He said that there's no protector today from the decree of Allah, from the Amr of Allah, except for who Allah gives mercy. And then as we're visualizing these mountains, and him calling his son, يَا بُنَيْ إِرْكَبْ مَعْنَا, oh my son, come aboard with us. Allah then says, وَحَالَ بَيْنَهُمَا الْمَوْجُ فَكَانَ مِنَ الْمُغْرَقِينَ, that the waves came between them and he became from those who were drowned, subhanAllah. And the Quran, when you reflect on it, it's very, very deep in its meanings. And if you take the time, not just to get to the end of the stories, to stop and reflect how deep that is, how Allah makes it, then something we can really, you know, visualize, seeing those waves coming and seeing it just going between him and his son, subhanAllah al-Azim. It's very, very deep. When you look at the aftermath and what happened after that, also in Surah Hud, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then said, and the verse which comes after that, وَقِيلَ يَا أَرْضُ إِبْلَعِي مَاءَكِ, and it said, O earth, swallow up your water. وَيَا سَمَاءُ أَقْلِعِي وَغِيضَ الْمَاءِ, and then it was said to the sky, withhold your rain, and the water subsidized. And then Allah said, وَقُضِيَ الْأَمْرُ وَاسْتَوَتْ عَلَى الْجُودِي, that the matter was accomplished. Allah's command was accomplished, and the ship came to rest on the mountain known as Al-Judi, and he then said, وَقِيلَ بُعْدًا لِلْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ, and away with the wrongdoing people. Then the new beginning started for Nuh and the believers during that time, and then mankind began to spread after this. They spread through the time of Adam, and then all of those who were destroyed, they became a very small number again, and then they began to what? They spread out again after the time of Nuh alayhi salam. There's a couple of lessons that I want to mention before we look at the story of Idris alayhi salam. The first thing that we need to gain is, and a great reminder from the story of Nuh alayhi salam, is the danger of over-exaggerating and praising the salihin, the pious people. And many Islamic groups or sects, they fall into this with their sheikhs, or even some of them call them their saints, where they over-exaggerate into praising them, and many of them have fallen into shirk. That's why you'll find that many of these groups who worship graves, and they even some of them worship ones who are alive, and some of them worship their saints or their sheikhs that are dead. All of them falling into the same trap that the people of Nuh fell into. And this is the Quran. And he is telling us these stories, that they took these salihin, that these names that we mentioned, or mentioned in Surah Nuh, they weren't from the fasiqeen, they weren't from the shayateen, they were from the salihin who were encouraging people to worship Allah as one and to do good deeds. But the people then were misled by shaytan to be encouraged to worship, to remind it to worship Allah, and then eventually to worship them, and they fell into shirk. So whenever you have al-ghulu fi salihin, you have an extremism, and you exaggerate and over praising the salihin, it leads to shirk, it leads to bid'ah, like many of the Muslim groups and sects have fallen into today, unfortunately, wallahu musta'an. The other lesson that we really gain from the story of Nuh is the patience of the da'i. Even if there's not the outcome that you have, we're doing 950 years of da'wah, you know, patience. And that's something, you know, that's not easy. And if you were asked someone to, you know, to wait 95 days to be patient now, we would go crazy trying to give da'wah to people for 95 days and no one was answering and we're going through difficulties, subhanAllah. And we're coming online now, no one's attending for 95 days. Something very interesting, Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen, rahimahullah ta'ala, who's someone who's seen, who reached what he reached in the days that we live in, where you go and you have, you know, 1,000 students who sit there in front of him, when you would see at the last part of his life, you know, hundreds of students and some of the big events, you know, thousands of students, that when he started, he only had 2 students. That's it. He only had 2 students in the beginning, but he continued. And this is how the da'i is. It's the one who's teaching, the one who's giving da'wah, whether you're teaching the Muslim community or the outreach to the non-Muslims, giving them da'wah as well, that you have to have sabr. And this is what Allah wants us to learn from this story. Also, that the tawheed is the foundation of the da'wah of Nuh and the da'wah of all of the Anbiya, as we see throughout the Quran time and time again. And we're going to see in all of their stories as well. Also, one of the things that we benefit is the different approaches, different styles that he used in giving da'wah. And he would call them secretly, openly, nighttime, daytime, seeing when is the good time, when is the time that works for this individual, when's the time that doesn't work for that individual, reminding them of the blessings of the ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bring them back to worship the one who, the creator, the one who blessed them with these blessings. Also, the issue of the numbers. That's all known about the numbers. You might be someone who's very smart, someone who's very good in your da'wah, but you don't have the followers and you don't have the numbers as someone else might have. And this is that, and we know from the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, the Prophet might come and he has a handful of followers, other ones have 1 or 2 and some of them have none. And here Nuh alayhi salam, he only had 80 followers. So it's not about the numbers, it's about doing our job. And at the end of the day, as the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, that at the end of time, that Islam is going to be gharib, it's going to be strange. And he said, you know, glad tidings to the strangers. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us all from the ghuraba, from the strangers, ya Rabbil Alameen. And also from the, you know, great lessons that we benefit from this is at the end, when you look at the story of Nuh alayhi salam, how he built the ship in a desert area where there's no water, there's nothing, but Allah commanded him to build it. وَصْنَعُ الْفُلْكَ خَلَاص. Build the ship. He didn't hesitate. He immediately implemented and did and acted upon the command of Allah, even though perhaps he didn't understand how it was going to work. Like, no one has any ships. We don't know how ships work. Here we are in the place, there's no water, but I've been commanded to do it, so I do it. So the same thing with the believer. A lot of times, even if you don't understand the hikmah at this time, maybe later you'll understand the wisdom behind things being made for you, and you'll act upon it. Bismillah, let's backtrack now, inshallah ta'ala, to the story of Idris. We should start in the story of Hud, but as we forgot in the last episode, the story of Idris, and we started with the story of Nuh, we're going to backtrack a bit, inshallah ta'ala. Idris alayhi salam was known for his piety. And it said that he would worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala 24/7, day and night. And because of this, Allah chose him for prophethood after Sheth, after Seth, the son of Adam, alayhi salam, alayhima salam. Allah said in the Quran about Idris alayhi salam, وَذْكُرْ فِي الْكِتَابِ إِدْرِيسِ, and remember in the book Idris, إِنَّهُ كَانَ صِدِّيقًا نَبِيًّا, indeed he was a man of truth and he was a Nabi, he was a prophet. And Allah said, وَرَفَعْنَاهُ مَكَانًا عَلِيًّا, and we raised him a high station, a high status. And what does it mean, the مَكَانًا عَلِيًّا, this high status? We're going to mention inshallah ta'ala at the end of his story. Some quick facts about Idris alayhi salam. He was born in Babylon, and he was the father of the grandfather of Nuh alayhi salam. The father of the grandfather of Nuh alayhi salam. And Allah revealed to him a scripture. Allah revealed to him a scripture of 30 pages. And he met Adam alayhi salam. He was born during the time of Adam, and he spent 308 years with Adam. So he's from the grandchildren or the grand-grandchildren or whatever, from Adam, and he's from that. But he did meet him and spent some time with him and obviously benefited from his teachings and then continued to spread it and teach it to the people afterwards. We mentioned a couple of episodes ago something very interesting about the da'wah of Idris that we really need to focus on as du'at. There's something very unique about his da'wah. First of all, he traveled from country to country with his father. Those who believed in him, they all went out and da'wah. And as we see now, some of them, they would travel from country to country, from land to land, to teach people tawheed and teach them about good manners and to teach them about Islam. So here, subhanAllah, you see the du'at, when we travel and we go out to teach people and to give da'wah, it's the way of the Anbiya. And this is the mention and the story of Idris alayhi salam, that he would travel from country to country. What made his da'wah so unique is that he didn't just teach the people the affairs of the deen. He also taught them the affairs of the dunya as well, subhanAllah. He would teach them deen, and he would teach them dunya as well. So for example, when he went to Egypt, he taught them how to benefit from the Nile. He taught them what to do when the water levels were high, how to benefit from it, and what to do when the water levels were low, and how they could still benefit even when the water levels were low. And this is one of the main objectives of the da'i, is that the people, that they achieve happiness and success in all spheres of life, that they are successful in their deen and that they're successful in their dunya as well. Idris alayhi salam, he was the first person to ever do many things. For example, he was the first person to establish cities. People before lived a nomadic lifestyle, so they didn't have cities. He was the first person to ever establish cities. He established 188 cities. He was the first person to write with a pen, the first person to sew clothes. He knew astronomy and math and all of these things that we study today. He was from the ones who founded many of these sciences and knowledges. Everyone loved Idris alayhi salam. Obviously, when you're coming to give someone the best of the deen and the dunya, people are going to love you. And when you do something for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you strive for Allah, Allah puts the love of the people in your heart. Allah mentions this in Surah Maryam when he said, "Inna alladhina amanu wa amilu salihati sayaj'alu lahum ar-Rahmanu wudda." Sayaj'alu lahum ar-Rahmanu wudda. That those who do the good, who believe and do good deeds, that ar-Rahman subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to put love for them, meaning love in the people's hearts for them. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he mentioned this as well, that when Allah loves one of us, that he calls out in the sky, he calls out to Jibreel and tells him that I love so-and-so, so love him. Then Jibreel calls out in the sky and says that indeed Allah loves so-and-so, so love him, and the angels love him, and then he's given the qabool, he's given the acceptance and the love from the people upon the earth. But just even though he was loved by the people, also he faced difficulties, just like any of the prophets would face in their da'wah. And that's why Allah said, "Wa Ismaila wa Idris wa dhal kifl kullu min as-sabirin." And Ismail, Idris, and dhal kifl, all of them are from the sabirin. They're from the patience. They're from the patient ones. "Wa adkhalnahum fi rahmatina," and we entered them into our mercy. "Innahum min as-salihin," that indeed they are from the salihin. When we look into, we said his story that Allah mentioned in Surah Maryam, وَرَفَعْنَاهُ مَكَانًا عَلِيًّا, that we raised him a high station. What was his high station or his high status that Allah raised him with? Allah blessed him with a special ajr, a special reward that he would get every day for all of his good deeds, equivalent to all of the good deeds on the people of the earth during that time. Imagine that, subhanAllah. So he wanted to increase and to get even more rewards for the hereafter. So he requested that he could go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ask him for a request to increase in his life. So he wouldn't die at a certain time. He would increase in his life in order to do more good deeds, to accomplish more reward and more ajr and more hasanat and thawab. As he was going up to the heaven with the angel who was with him on his back, he reached the fourth heaven and they met Malakul Maut, the angel of death. The angel of death was surprised. He said, "Who is with you?" He said, "It's Idris." He said, "The other angel." He said, "Who's with you?" He said, "It's Idris." And he said, "Why? What is it?" He said, "Because I didn't understand that Allah told me to take his soul today, to go to take his soul." So he said, "I'm on the way to earth to take his soul now." And here he is in the fourth heaven. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took his soul in Jannah. Allah took his soul in Jannah. And that's what's meant, وَرَفَعْنَاهُ مَكَانًا عَلِيًّا, that we raised him in a high station. Allah took his soul then. And subhanAllah reminds us of a reminder, as Allah told us in Surah An-Nisa, أَيْنَمَا تَكُونُ يُدْرِكُكُمُ الْمَوْتِ, that wherever you will be, يُدْرِكُكُمُ الْمَوْتِ, that the moat, the death will overtake you. وَلَوْ كُنْتُمْ فِي بُرُوجٍ مُشَيَّدًا, that even if you were within towers of lofty construction, subhanAllah, whenever your time comes, the angel of death, he's going to find you wherever you may be. And that reminds us as Muslims that we must strive for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to obtain that high status and to strive for our deen, so that when we meet the angel of death, and then after that we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we'll meet him in the best state and that he will be pleased with us subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that brings us to an end of this episode, inshallah. Until next week, we'll continue with the story of Hud alayhi salam. Until then, Allah knows best. Allahu alam wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala Nabi Muhammad wa jazakum Allah khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.